Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
And as Craig just shared, that you can do anytime on our social channels or at rmworldtravel.com. And if you want to follow all the activities in Rome and around Europe on the Mediterranean the next 2 weeks for the next two big Let's Go America Tour events, it will be a good idea to be connected with us on social media right now, as we'll be posting and sharing throughout the week. All right, so it is time for the Chief Travel Leader Conversation, and in mere moments, we are going to be joined by Michelle Korsmo. She's the new CEO of the National Restaurant Association, and this portion of the program is sponsored by Hilton.
And all of you regular listeners know that we do believe it matters where you stay, and whether you're on the move for vacation or business, solo, or maybe with a group. With nearly 7,000 properties in over 120 countries, Hilton and their 18 world-class brands offer accommodations to meet your every need.
Hilton has welcomed more than 3 billion guests over its 100-year history. They're the hotel and resort company that we recommend for your travels, and we think the Hilton Honors Loyalty Program, well, it's the best out there. Whether it's traveling with family, friends, or even your pets, conducting important business, or exploring a new or familiar city like we're going to be doing over in Rome, it's Hilton for the stay. Make your reservations today. Find a direct link to Hilton at rmworldtravel.com. Just look under sponsors.
All right. In February 2021, it was Tom Benet. Earlier this year in March, it was Marvin Irby. And today, on October 29th, it's Michelle Korsmo. All three have been in the CEO role with the National Restaurant Association. Michelle's the newest in the position. And like much of the travel and hospitality industry, a lot's been happening in this sector of the travel world. So we thought we'd get a check-in and a real-time report on industry happenings. Here's Michelle right now on that show hotline for today's Chief Travel Leader Conversation.
Michelle, hello, and welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
Thank you, Robert. It's great to be here.
Well, great to have you with us on the Saturday morning. Listen, it has been on our front burner to stay connected with the National Restaurant Association. As just like so many sectors of the travel world, what's happening in your industry, it's reflective of the larger happenings in travel. As Mary said, we spoke with Tom back in 2021, and the industry was struggling. Earlier this year, Marvin was more optimistic, but yet realistic. Mm-hmm. So as you know, you join us on this Halloween weekend. You're now on the job about 6 months. Mm-hmm. Where are the success stories coming from in the restaurant sector? And conversely, I also want to know, where's the industry still struggling to work its way back from the pandemic?
Oh, wonderful question. So excited to talk about that. You know, it's interesting. We've all been thinking about the pandemic, and hopefully that's in the rearview mirror, and certainly for people's health. But, you know, for restaurants, they're in the pandemic. They're hoping, you know, that we can get back to normalcy and business picks up and lots of people coming into their restaurants so they can do what they do best, and that's serving their customers. And, of course, then they get hit with the 1-2 punch of inflation and supply chain problems. So for restaurants, of course, everybody's aware of all of the issues that relate to the workforce and just trying to find enough great employees so they can be open and serving as many people as are there to come into their restaurants. But the other thing that's happening is, you know, inflation is really hitting restaurants just like it's hitting everybody else. Wholesale food costs are up anywhere between 13 and 15% in the last year. And so, you know, for restaurants, that's a big deal. And
absolutely,
menu prices are going up, too. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of what's on their mind right now.
So let's dig in a little more. And high fuel prices aren't helping, because that just adds to the increased delivery rates. Mm-hmm. I saw a statistic that around 90,000 restaurant locations had temporarily or permanently closed during the pandemic. And Robert mm-hmm. and I have been traveling with this show basically monthly across the country. And I think it's fair to say that although it's better than, certainly better than the end of 2020 and better than most of 2021, we're still seeing that most restaurants are having some staffing issues. I'm curious to hear what you're seeing and hearing in the industry.
Yeah. So in the restaurant industry, by the end of the year, we're projected to employ nearly 15 million people. That's still down almost 500,000 jobs from the end of 2019.
That's a big number, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. It's a big number. I mean, 500,000 jobs is a lot. And I think that we all feel it when we're in restaurants. You know, you kind of think, is service a little slow today? Or they seem to be working, or why aren't they open at lunch? Boy, they're closing mm-hmm. earlier than I expected them to. That's all about not having enough people working in the industry.
You know, as you take a look at the calendar where we are right now, Election Day is coming up in 10 days on mm-hmm. November 8th. I mentioned last week that there are some interesting ballot initiatives that are facing voters. One that's caught my attention that's happening in Washington, D.C., it's Initiative 82, and it's calling for the elimination of tipped wages that exist in restaurants and bars. Now, I think many waiters and waitresses, bartenders, other servers, they go into the industry because of the tips. They can make a good living earning tips. So I personally hope that this ballot initiative in Washington, D.C. fails. We have an affiliate there, so I hope everyone listening right now gets out and votes. But, you know, this isn't a trend that we want to start seeing elsewhere. Would you agree?
I agree, Robert. And, you know, so thank you for bringing it up, because we agree with you that we would like to see that ballot initiative fail. And let me talk about why we're on the side of ensuring that employees still have tipped wages. As you said, some of these restaurant workers can make really wonderful livings if they're in a tipped wage environment. I think some of the challenges, people don't really understand what the tipped wage credit means. And what that means is that the employer gets credit on compensation for what the employees, the servers, are earning through their tips. But the employers are still paying taxes on all of that money and doing the work to make sure that those employees are adequately compensated. But it also has tremendous upside, and that's what we love about the people that find that the tipped wage environment is the space that they want to live in.
Right.
You know, when you think about why people become wait staff and servers, it's because they like interacting with people.
Absolutely.
And this is something that I think is so important for things, for people to think about. If you're in a sit-down restaurant and you've got a server that's there waiting on your table, the reason they want to do that is they like to be with people. They like to kind of get to know their customers and understand what you like and where you're from and what you're doing. And, you know, I think that that's something for people to really remember, is that server wants to make a connection with you. When they make that connection, it usually is reflected in their tips, right? When they can bring that something special to your meal and your experience, you usually give them a little something extra in the tip.
You absolutely
and
do.
And that's a tremendous upside.
So,
but, you know, as we think about it, one of the things for people to think through who say, oh, you know, we've got to make sure that they, you know, are making enough money. Absolutely. You know, we just talked about there's 500,000 fewer people working in the industry than in 2019. People are really eager to attract people to this industry. So restaurants want optionality, right? So what I want is for restaurants to have the options to choose how they compensate their employees based on what they think is...
Well, that's exactly how it should be done. It should not be a ballot initiative. And I'm a big believer in the supply and demand.
And I think regionally, that would be different all around the U.S., right?
It very much is a regional thing. So again, I'm all for preserving optionality for restaurants to figure out how they want to compete. And some are doing different things to try to attract wait staff. And that's a great thing, because then the best and the brightest employees get to decide where they want to be. And for those others that are just getting going, there's options there. And again, the wonderful thing about the upside to living in an environment where you can earn the tips based on your performance.
Michelle, I know you and your husband used to work together in a business like Robert and
we
do with this show. And I bring that up because you've certainly had experience in entrepreneurial positions. And what I find interesting, I saw a stat that around 80% of restaurant owners started in the industry in entry-level positions. So, yes, it's all about working with people, but they also learn how to run a business. I am curious if you think that that is an important aspect in attracting new staff.
Well, I have so many stories about people that started in the dish room, right? You know, that space where, you know, it's people that have come to this country as new Americans, started in the dish room, not speaking the language, and then over not that many years, a decade plus, not that many, they're owning restaurants, right? What a terrific thing. But there is something really entrepreneurial about the restaurant industry, where it's all about how can I provide value to my community? What's the niche I can provide? Am I the you know, little neighborhood diner where everybody comes for that comfortable meal and we know that you're going to get any option that you want on the menu? Or am I that fabulous high-end restaurant that's the special date night? Or am I that quick service restaurant that's serving the needs of, hey, I've got three, you know, my family, three dance classes, one tutor, and one soccer game tonight. How are we going to get it all in? And you're going to that.
Well, that's an excellent point. And in many cases, you know, these folks, when they support communities through local groups and that they become a part of it. Really quick, I just want to get your thoughts, and we're only going to have about maybe 30 seconds on this. But to go back to some of these issues going on out there, at the end of or the beginning of September, California's governor signed a bill that's going to move the minimum wage to $22 an hour. They already had one of the highest minimum wages in the country. It's going to raise the bill another 40%. That's certainly going to impact, you know, fast food businesses, mom and pop. Any position that the National Restaurant Association has taken on this?
But this is another one where we're talking about wanting to preserve optionality. And the California FAST Act takes all of that away. I had a great conversation with a woman who is a new American. She and her husband came to the U.S. about 15 years ago, and she owns two restaurants that are franchises. So they have a brand that people would know, national brand name. But she and her husband have just these two restaurants. And she said to me, if they're going to mandate that I've got to pay $22 an hour or more, there's got to be more than just me and my husband working in these restaurants because, again, we're worried about food.
Michelle, we're all worried about this. Unfortunately,
Michelle, we could talk to you for
days on
this.
We're going to have to leave it there, but very nice connecting with you today. This conversation will continue, I promise. So until we do it again, enjoy the weekend, okay?
Thank you, everyone.
All right, well, important issues, folks. As we get ready to step aside for some important sponsor messages, we'll be answering emails and the Destination Spotlight are both still ahead this hour. But next, Lonely Planet's Sebastian Modak jumps into the fray. There are still 90 minutes to go in the show, and we'll get to them immediately following these messages.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back. And you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.